I love Jesus. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my Savior, my guide, and my peace. He is my joy, my comfort, my Lord, and he rules my life. Let's look at the Savior. He's described in Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. This is one of the most dramatic moments in the book of Revelation, which we are studying in this series, the emergence of the Lamb. Look at it. John had been weeping. Why? There was no one to whom God could reveal his secrets, his purposes, his plan of redemption. But one of the elders said, "Stop crying." These words were often on the lips of our Lord when he was here on earth. That's what he said to the woman of Nain when she was weeping over the death of her son. That's what he said to Jairus when he was weeping over his daughter. These words are still being spoken by our Lord today. The elder said, "Behold, the lion hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." What does that mean? Because of his sinlessness and his suffering for our sins, because of his love for his Father and his loyalty to his will, because of his victory over the devil and death, he's able to know God's secrets. He's able to reveal God's secrets. And it's his duty and delight to preside over the things which will come to pass. He won this privilege according to Philippians 2:5-12. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. He's called the Lion of Judah. Why? In blessing his sons, Jacob said, "Judah is a young lion." If Judah is a young lion, it's only fitting to call the greatest member of the tribe of Judah the Lion of Judah. Now, the lion is the king of the beasts, and Jesus is the king of kings. He's the all-powerful one. He's called the root of David. This refers back to Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, it was declared that there would come forth a branch from the old root, and that he'd be a banner of salvation to all the world. An angel said before his birth, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." John turned to see a lion, but what did he see? A lamb. Just a lamb? No, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When God entered our world, he came not as a lion, as many expected, but as a lamb. He came as a lamb to conquer sin and Satan, demons and death. He conquered not by lashing out, but by loving. The Lord Jesus is called the Lamb 29 times in the book of Revelation. But what about this Lamb? According to verse 6, he still bears the mark of having been slain. There we have the picture of the sacrifice of Christ still visible in heaven. Here's the picture of the shame and the suffering he bore for your sins and mine. But there's another side to this. While this lamb has the hallmark of sin, he has horns, seven horns, and seven eyes. Why? The seven horns stand for omnipotence. The horn in the Old Testament stood for power. Jesus was the lion in strength, but he was also the lamb in sacrifice. In Hebrew thought, the lamb was the symbol of goodness, but also of greatness. Alexander the Great had a ram's horn on both sides of his helmet to signify greatness, great in might and great in majesty. Now this lamb with seven horns speaks of fullness of power. The lamb has seven eyes, and the eyes are the seven spirits which are sent into all the earth. No one can escape his all-seeing eye and his all-conquering power. Here we see the majesty and the meekness of Jesus. It's tremendous. Now let's listen to the singers, verses 8 through 10. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. When the Lamb with his sacrificial wounds stood up, turned to the throne of God and took the scroll, every redeemed person, millions of them, burst into a song that had never been sung before. The picture of the elders is interesting. They have harps. They were always used in singing praises to the Lord. They signify music of praise. But the second picture is more interesting. They have golden vials or bowls full of incense, the prayers of God's people. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense. Here are two thoughts about this passage. One, in days of old, as the high priest went into the holy sanctuary, and the people remained outside praying, the high priest carried with him a bowl of incense. As the smoke of it and the perfume of it ascended up to heaven, so the prayers of God's people were thus poured out before the great throne of the Almighty. In that golden bowl are the prayers of God's children through all centuries. Didn't he teach us to pray, Thy kingdom come? These prayers are not lost. The day will come when his will be done on earth. On that day, every prayer of every faithful intercessor is brought anew before the Lord. There are some who say that eventually everyone will be redeemed. But verse 9 doesn't say that. It doesn't say that all men will be redeemed. It's true, Christ died to redeem all men. But his redemption is effective only for those who receive it through faith in Christ. The redeemed are not all of every kingdom and tongue and nation, but out of every kingdom, tongue, and nation. Tell me, will you be one of the redeemed? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You haven't? Oh, I feel so sorry for you. My heart aches for you. I pray for you. Come to Jesus right now. Say to him, Dear Lord, I receive thee. I turn from my sins to thee. Save me now.